So as you know, one of the things I do, I started doing, and you can check this out at the website, CatholicAudioMedia.com. That's CatholicAudioMedia.com. But one of the things you can check out is that I research my homily every single week. And in researching my homily, I come up with a bunch of notes, and I use Verbum software. So I come up with a bunch of notes, and then I take those notes, and I use them to build the homily, but I can also, I found out, put them online so that if you want to check out what notes I am using to build my homily, you're welcome to do that. And the way I put a homily together is very simple. First of all, I never look at the readings until I've finished doing the masses on Sunday. I might look at the readings on Monday morning. I might look at them on Sunday night. But I'll never look at the readings until after I've done mass on Sunday. But I look at the readings every week. Now, I know that there are some preachers in the evangelical world that'll plan out their homilies for months ahead of time. And then there are others that don't, that do something similar to what I do. There's all different styles out there, and that is one of my styles. I always go week by week. And one of the reasons, too, is to be able to bring the homily into relevance, is to be able to bring the homily there so that it is, in fact, relevant to what we're doing. So, if, for example, if I were to write my homily a year ahead of time, I may be able to tweak some new stuff going on, but I really can't build the homily in light of the environment that we are in at the time that I am writing my homily, because I'm writing it a year ahead of time. So what I always do is I do it the week that the homily is going to be delivered. So as I'm recording this, I have not written my homily yet. And I'm recording this on Wednesday. I will have my homily written either today or tomorrow, or sometimes I write it on Saturday, but that's very rare. So that's one of the things I do. And I start the research, and I look at the three readings. Now, as you know, in the Catholic Church, we have what we actually call three readings, or actually four, but we usually don't focus on the psalm as much as the other two. So we have the first reading, I know this is going to be hard for you to figure out. Okay, the first reading, the second reading, and the gospel. I'm joking, obviously, using sarcasm. Well, during Easter, as I've said, the first reading always comes from the Acts of the Apostles. For the rest of the year, the first reading always comes from the Old Testament. So only in Easter does it come from the book, the Acts of the Apostles. And then, of course, the second reading is from the New Testament. It's usually what is known as the Epistle, and usually prior to Vatican II, that's what it was always known. It was the Epistle. That's how they called it. And it's one of the readings from St. Paul. And then the next reading is the gospel, and in between the first and the second is the psalm. And I said, we really don't focus on that for preaching. The next reading is the gospel, and it's always the gospel. And usually, not always, but usually there is a connection between the first reading and the gospel, not necessarily the epistle, but usually there's a connection between the first reading and the gospel on Sundays, especially when it is outside of the Easter season. Now, those rules, by the way, follow all the way through. So technically, if you're having a funeral during Easter and you love, for example, it's Ecclesiastes, a time for this and a time for that, Ecclesiastes. Technically, you're not supposed to, first of all, it's not one of the selected readings, but we usually use that. Don't ask me why it's not one of the selected readings. But we often are open to it. Technically, you're not supposed to have that at Easter at all, because the first reading is always supposed to come from the Acts of the Apostles. Now, it's usually hard to describe that to someone who is mourning the sudden death of a relative of theirs. So usually you don't keep this hard and fast rule if it's going to just cause problems. It doesn't make any sense. But that's one of the rules that you follow. First reading, even during a funeral, is supposed to be from the Acts of the Apostles. And in a sense, it makes sense, because what is Easter all about? Resurrection. What is a funeral all about? Resurrection. So they do work together. But it's hard to describe that to a family that's really deeply in mourning over the loss of one of their relatives. So work with that as best you can. But anyway, There we go. So you have the first reading, you have the epistle, and then you have the gospel. So I look over all three readings and I make the decision of which one of those three readings I'm going to preach on. I only preach on one. They told us in the seminary, never do a homily based on all three, and I never do. I always base it on one. And sometimes it can be just one line. Some great preachers. And I think one of them was the instructor to Martin Luther King, said, yes, they could preach on one line and do very well. Usually I preach on the reading. So this coming Sunday, I am preaching on the second reading. And the second reading, also known as the epistle, is actually from the first letter of John, and it's chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And it talks to us about who we truly are. See what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called children of God. Yet so we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we shall be has not yet been revealed. We do know that when it is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 in the New American Bible Revised Edition. So, that is the reading, and that's what I'm going to base my homily on this weekend. I'm going to talk more on the other side of the break. You're listening to The Voice of St. Anthony Parish from Allston, Massachusetts, right here on WROL 950 AM 100.3 FM. And you can also hear us at CatholicAudioMedia.com. That's CatholicAudioMedia.com. Did you know that you can listen to Catholic Audio Media on the iHeartRadio app? Catholic Audio Media is now available through your iHeartRadio app. If you don't have the app, download it to your smartphone, tablet, or computer and subscribe through the podcast tab to Catholic Audio Media. You'll be able to hear both St. Anthony Overnight and The Voice of St. Anthony, both programs through the app. You can also enable them through your smart speaker and hear them through the smart speaker as well. Just ask for Catholic Audio Media podcast from iHeartRadio. You can hear them anywhere. You can listen to them as you're jogging. You can listen to them as you're preparing to go to bed. You can listen to them as you're eating and having breakfast or lunch or dinner. You can hear them anytime you want at iHeartRadio through the iHeartRadio app. And don't forget our website, CatholicAudioMedia.com. That's CatholicAudioMedia.com, where you can send us feedback for the show. You can also send us prayer requests. You can join our Substack newsletter, which I strongly encourage you to do and like you to do that. And you can also hear the archives of the program. And as you heard, you can also see the notes out of which I am using my, I'm building my homily. You can see that there as well. CatholicAudioMedia.com. So after I decide what reading I'm going to base my homily on, then I research it and I use Verbum software. And using Verbum, I go through the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which is the current catechism, the UCAT, which is the catechism that's actually designed for youth. Now, youth in the United States has a different definition than throughout the world. It differs per country. So, for example, in the Latin American countries, youth is usually 40 and below. Whole different demographic. So youth is usually 40 and below, whereas here in the United States, it's more or less teenagers and maybe early young adults. And then, of course, below teenagers. So anyway, it's a catechism. It's a UCAT. And you can find that on the web. You can purchase that on the web. So there's the UCAT, there is the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the Council of Trent. Then I go through many of the documents of the different popes and other readings, including sources of Catholic doctrine. I go through various different issues all the way down the line. And those are all there. So I go through all those documents and I read what's relevant to what I'm going to preach on. And then I check also Summa Theologica. I check the what are known as the Fathers of the Church. I go through all those. And I put all this together. I ended up with 11 pages of notes for this particular homily. You'd think I'd end up with tons. Sometimes I end up with only 4, and sometimes I end up with almost 30. And then I go through them to figure out what is the most important points that I've seen that I can build my homily upon. And one of the fascinating themes that came out from this second reading is this powerful teaching that that whole thing comes out of Paul, of course, and out of John, who is the one who wrote the letter for this week. But in both cases, you see that we do not know what God has reserved for us. But what we do know is that when we get to heaven, we will be what is known as divinized, is a word that's often used. And that means that we will be transformed to the point that we will be able to see God as he is. So as St. James says, you can see God now as like we're in a mirror, but then we'll be able to see God as he truly is. And that is known as the beatific vision. So our time here is about preparing for our time there. And in the meantime, it brings up some powerful teachings. And one of the most powerful I saw came from Pope Pius XI. And he talked about the importance of understanding that we as Catholics believe in faith and reason, but our theological faith has a higher weight, a stronger weight than our human reason. So our theological reason has a higher weight than our human reason. And that's important because if we take away the theological, then we end up in a very dangerous position because we don't have anything above us to draw on our source of wisdom. So our wisdom is only what we find within us. And maybe we can say a philosophical, he doesn't say this obviously, philosophical position of the self-driving car. You ever see people try to make a self-driving car where the wheels produce power that's supposed to make the car move? And of course, it can't go. It just doesn't go anywhere. Well, if we don't have an outside source, then we end up becoming these people who focus on a limited amount of wisdom. And he explains that it's very dangerous, and we never want to be that. And who is he explaining it to? The Nazis. Really, the Nazis is very dangerous. So we found out it is true. So when we understand who we truly are and where we get our source of wisdom, and we use that with our human wisdom, we're able to be powerful witnesses to the faith. Father Adriano, tomorrow. You know, we have a website for our programs that will connect you to the parish, the blog, and to share your prayer requests with us. If you've been touched by our program, you can even show your support through your donation. We are at CatholicAudioMedia.com. That's all one word, CatholicAudioMedia.com. It is updated regularly with blog posts and podcasts of the program. So stay connected with us and tell us how this show has touched your heart. CatholicAudioMedia.com. In Cristo vivimos.